morning, brothers and sisters. Let's bow our heads with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I pray that you will fill me with the Holy Spirit, for you said in Acts that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Lord, I pray that you give me this Holy Spirit. Fill me with your power, give me your words to say, so that I can make known the mystery of the gospel and declare it fearlessly as I should. Also pray that you fill those who hear the message today with the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will help them to see with their eyes, to hear with their ears, to understand with their hearts, so that you would turn and heal them. Lord, I pray that you help us to go to the ant, to consider its ways and to be wise. For we know that the ant has no ruler, no overseer, yet it stores up its provisions and prepares for winter to come. Lord, we know that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will happen. So I pray that you help each and every one of us to hear your word and also to do it, so that we can prepare ourselves for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you also help us not just to live by the Spirit, but to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, which means to leave our sinful ways so that we can live and to walk in the way of understanding. Lord, I pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So the message today is taken from James chapter 1, verse 18. So let's quickly read verse 18 one more time. So in verse 18 it says, "He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." So here we can see that the first function of the word of truth is that the word of truth gives us birth. And then, so what is this word of truth? So we know that God's word is the word of truth. And how do we know that? It's because it's written in John chapter 17, verses 17. So John chapter 17, verse 17 reads, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Okay, so now that we know what the word of truth is, how did it give us birth? So if we take a look at John chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. So many of us already know this passage really well, so the main points in John chapter 3, verses 3 to 6 is that all of us were first, in verse 3 it says, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And then the second main point is verse 5, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." So all of us were already given birth to by our mothers. So in order for God to give us birth again, he used the means of water and the Spirit. And also, it's very important that you understand what verses 3 and 5 is saying. It's saying that unless we are born again, we won't be able to see and we won't be able to enter the kingdom of God. And the other thing that's important to know from John chapter 3, verses 3 and verse 5, it's saying, Jesus says that, "I tell you the truth," twice. Which means that this is the word of truth that James is talking about in chapter 1, verse 18. So when we hear the word of truth and we accept it, then we would go through water baptism, and that's done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And how do we know this? It's because it's written in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19. And so, like, all of us know what water baptism is, but what is spirit baptism? So the Bible talks about spirit baptism in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. So there it says that, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." So here it talks about that the moment you hear the gospel and you're willing to receive it and you accept it, so you believe it, then the Holy Spirit will come into your heart. And that's when you go through spirit baptism. And then Paul also goes on to say in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee that you will receive inheritance. So if you link all these Bible verses together, then you'll find out that not only do we get to see the kingdom of God, enter the kingdom of God, but we'll also get to inherit it in the future. But remember that without the Holy Spirit, we won't have it, and without water baptism, we won't have it. So that's why this is, it's very important when you meet a Christian in your daily lives that you have to ask them if they are born again. If they say yes, then that's not the end of it. You still have to ask them, how do you know that you are born again? Did you go through water baptism? And do you have the Holy Spirit? So these are the questions that John, Peter, and Paul are asking. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 8, verses 12. So here it says that, But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then scroll down to starting verse 14 to 17. It reads, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So here we see that the Samaritans, they first went through water baptism when they believed Philip's preaching, and then they stopped there because Philip didn't know the full truth. Philip only thought that if you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and you're baptized, then you're good to go. But that was only the half truth, and the Samaritans only had half salvation. So luckily, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when Peter and John came, they found out that they did not have the Holy Spirit. So according to Jesus' teaching, if you do not have the Spirit baptism, then you're not able to see the kingdom of God, and you're not able to enter the kingdom of God. So that's why Peter and John first prayed, and then they laid their hands on them for them to receive the Holy Spirit. From this passage, we see that So there are certain questions that you have to ask your friend if they say to you that they are a born-again Christian. You have to check if they truly understand what the term born-again means by asking them, do you have the Holy Spirit? Then some people will say, yes, I have the Holy Spirit. Then you should ask them, did you go through water baptism? Because if they have the Holy Spirit but did not go through water baptism, then I would say to them, I don't think you have the Holy Spirit, because if you truly have the Holy Spirit will move you to accept what I say and to go through water baptism. And then now let's take a look at another incident. This is written in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. So in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, Paul asked the disciples at Ephesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So this is the question that that Peter and John would have asked when they met the Samaritan believers. Then continue on. Then they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So from this passage, we know that John's baptism is not good enough. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus. We also know that when the disciples first received, we see that right when the disciples went through water baptism, they also had spirit baptism. So it doesn't matter. So the important thing is it doesn't matter which one goes first, but you must have both to be born again. And then once you have both, then you'll be able to see the kingdom of God and enter the kingdom of God. So we know that from here, from these scriptures, we see that Paul, Peter, and John, all three of them understood God's way of saving people. And that's what James means when he says, for God chose to give us birth, and this birth is a new birth so that we can be born again through the word of truth. And we can see that Paul, Peter, and John did as Jesus commanded. And another important point that we see from these two illustrations is that there is no delay in getting baptized once they believed. So the Samaritan believers did not delay in Acts chapter 8, and the disciples at Ephesus did not delay in Acts chapter 19. If you look at the latter part of Acts chapter 8, so we'll go to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. It talks about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And here, what's happening is that because there was an Ethiopian eunuch who was reading Isaiah the prophet, but he did not understand. So once Philip explained the scriptures to the Ethiopian eunuch, that the eunuch himself took the initiative and asked Philip to baptize him. So at first, the Ethiopian didn't understand, but once Philip helped him to understand, he wanted to be baptized. So if we take a look at verse 36, it reads, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? So here we see that the eunuch must have heard the word of truth and knew that you needed to have water baptism and spirit baptism in order to see and enter the kingdom of God. So he wanted to be baptized. He most likely was also moved by the Holy Spirit. And then we have to take a look. So in the normal Bible, it would be the footnotes, but on the screen it's displayed. So verse 37. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Here we can see that the eunuch believed in the Son of God, and he was the one who initiated to ask Philip to baptize him. So from here we can see that the eunuch loves the Lord very much. Because if we think about it, nowadays, even Christians would not read the Bible in the car after worship because they're afraid of getting dizzy when they read in the car ride. But this eunuch, after he went to Jerusalem to worship, he was reading the book of Isaiah in a chariot. Back then, they didn't even have shock absorbers, so he must have been bouncing around in the back of the chariot while reading the Bible. And most likely, it was the Holy Spirit moving him to study the book of Isaiah. And because the eunuch loved the Lord, but he didn't understand the scriptures that he was reading, the Lord saw that, and so the Lord used the Holy Spirit and moved through the angel of the Lord to talk to Philip in verse 26. So that was before. And then so here we know that the Lord examines our heart, and the Lord knows who loves him. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 17, it reads, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. So the eunuch loved the word of God. It was just that he didn't understand it. So don't you think the Lord would be able to see that? That's why he sent his servant, the angel, to move Philip to go and meet the eunuch and explain to him what it really means. And to tell him that, if you take a look in Acts, chapter 8. So there was, it even shows us the portion of scripture that the eunuch was reading. So in Acts chapter 8, go to verse 32. The eunuch was reading a portion of the scripture, but then he didn't understand whether it was talking about Isaiah the prophet or somebody else. So then Philip explained to him that this passage of scripture is actually talking about Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ was crucified. And so after the eunuch, he understood the word of God, he believed that Jesus Christ saved him. And so he wanted to die with Jesus and resurrect with Jesus. So that's why the eunuch himself initiated to ask Philip to baptize him. And then let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 38. And it reads, "And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing." So do you know why some people in the church don't want to be baptized? First of all, they don't love the word of God, they don't read it, and they don't know the importance of baptism. But the eunuch loved the Lord, he knew the importance of baptism, and he asked for it himself. So if we take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, it reads, "Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." So here, if the eunuch was not moved by the Holy Spirit, then he would not be able to say that he believes with all his heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And first of all, the Holy Spirit moved him to study the scripture while he was riding a long journey from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. This is a journey that takes probably 1 or 2 days in the chariot. And so the Holy Spirit moved him to study the scriptures, and that was really good. So because the Lord knows that the eunuch loves the word of God, loves the word of truth, then the Lord himself was like, why don't we give him birth through the word of truth? We know that the eunuch had water baptism for sure, but we know that in order to be born again, he needs to go through spirit baptism as well. So do we know whether or not the eunuch went through spirit baptism? So there are a few things that you can find out from the scripture when you're reading it. So I would say that most likely the eunuch did go through spirit baptism as well. The first thing I would know is because if you read the chapter 8, verse 39, it says that the eunuch did not see Philip again, but went on his way rejoicing. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's written in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And we can see that the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. So we know that the eunuch himself had a fruit of the Spirit, which was joy. And we also know that the eunuch himself was the one who initiated the baptism. So if he wasn't moved by the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't have wanted to be baptized. Okay, so as a quick summary of the first function of the word of truth. So from Jesus' teaching, we know that we need to be born again by water and the Spirit. It doesn't matter which one comes first. And it's not you either have one or you have other, but you need both. If you say you want to wait and understand more, what that means is that you still do not understand the word of truth, and you do not have the Holy Spirit in your heart. So if you die at this very moment, you may not be able to see the kingdom of God or enter the kingdom of God, because the Bible clearly says in John chapter 3 that no one can see or enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And if you refuse to do either of those, then you're not born again. So all these people who are saved and believe that Jesus is the Christ, they all want to be baptized with no hesitation. If you have hesitation, that means that you still don't understand the word of truth. And if you're not sure if you have the Holy Spirit or not within your heart, and you're not sure if you went through spirit baptism, then what you should do is you should ask the pastor or a Christian to lay hands on you so that you may receive the Holy Spirit. So why do I say that you can even ask a Christian? It's because if you take a look at Acts chapter 9, what happened was God sent Ananias to go and see Saul. But Ananias himself is not a pastor. He was a Christian. And when he laid hands on Saul, two things happened. So we'll read Acts chapter 9, verses 17. So it says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that there's two things happening. So number one is so that you may see again, and number two, to be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." So not only was Paul filled with the Holy Spirit, he baptized right away, and then later on we know that he also changed his life from being Saul to become Paul. So let's make sure we remember what is the truth one more time. So that's John chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, as well as Matthew chapter 28, verses 19. So all three of those. Let's talk about the second function of the word of truth. So the second function would be it nourishes our soul. So in Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, it says that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we know that we need to be nourished by the word of God, but how can we be nourished? So if we look at James chapter 1, verses 19, it says that, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." And so from here, we know that this teaching is not just James' own opinion. We know that it actually comes from the Old Testament as well, and it comes from God's Word. So let's take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. So it says, "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God." So this is the same as what James is saying, being slow to speak. And why should we do this? If we continue on, it tells us why. "Because God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few." So Ecclesiastes is God's word teaching us how to respond to God. So first of all, the number one step is that you need to listen to God's word to be nourished. Then you have to be slow to speak and slow to become angry. When you hear something that you don't like or don't quite understand because it's your first time hearing it, don't be angry. If you speak and become angry quickly, then you cannot be nourished by the word of God. If you take a look at Acts chapter 10, it talks about Cornelius' family. And we see that Cornelius' families and friends, they were waiting for 4 days to listen to Peter's sermon. So they were all eager to listen to God's word. They were quick to listen. And so the Lord was very pleased with all of them. And what happened was that even before Peter finished preaching, all those who heard the message were already baptized by the Holy Spirit. And so this is the question we have to ask ourselves. When we come to church every Sunday, did we prepare ourselves just like Cornelius' family and friends prepared themselves to receive the word of God? So here we can also see that this is why some people receive the Holy Spirit so easily, just like Cornelius and his family. Even before Peter finished preaching, they already received it. And it's because they took 4 days to prepare themselves, and they waited for Peter to come with eager expectation. So how did I know that it was 4 days? If you take a look at Acts chapter 10, verses 44. So Cornelius himself says that... I jumped ahead. you take a look at Acts chapter 10, verse 3, it says, Cornelius himself says that 4 days ago. So what happened was, because they waited for 4 days, the Lord was very pleased with them and gave them the Holy Spirit, which is the best gift. There's nothing better than the Holy Spirit. And when God first spoke to Cornelius in the beginning of Acts chapter 10, we can also see that Cornelius was not angry, but he was happy to do what God told him to do right away. Because Cornelius did it immediately, he got the blessing. God wanted this family to see and enter the kingdom of God, but they didn't have water baptism or spirit baptism yet. So Cornelius's and why did God want this family to enter the kingdom of God? It's because this family had 4 very good qualities. So in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, we can see that he and all his family members were first of all devout, not just Cornelius, but his family members were devout, and then later on you can see that his soldier was devout as well, and all his friends were devoted too. And then secondly, Cornelius was also God-fearing. Thirdly, he gave generously to those in need. And fourthly, he prayed to God regularly. And so doing all 4 of these things is good, but if you're not born again, you still cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. So because God loved this family, he sent his servant Peter to them. And we see that Cornelius was eager to do God's will as he sent his servants and he sent 2 of his servants and a devout soldier right away to ask for Peter to come. And then in the meantime, Cornelius didn't just want his own family members to listen to the word of God. What he did was he also invited all his close relatives and his friends. So most likely, right when Cornelius sent his servants to look for Peter, he also went and called his close friends and relatives. And because they waited for 4 days, Cornelius would have fed them with breakfast, lunch, and dinner as well. And so in verse 27, when Peter came, he saw that Cornelius had prepared a large gathering of people. And when the Lord saw that, for sure, the Lord would have been very happy with that. So how can we see that Cornelius is obedient to God? So when Cornelius first heard that God required him to do, he sent for Peter right away. And then we also see that not only was Cornelius obedient, Peter also was obedient. Because Peter was quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We can see that Peter could have been angry, since in verse 28, Peter himself says that it is against the Jewish law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit them. Yet Peter was not quick to speak, and he was not quick to become angry, but he submitted to the Holy Spirit, and he went for it. And so because Peter was obedient, Peter himself also received blessing. So one blessing that Peter received was in Acts chapter 10, verse 45. His eyes were opened, and he saw that even the Gentiles could receive the Holy Spirit, just like the Jews. This eye-opening experience for Peter happened because Peter obeyed. So now he knows God more, and found out that God not only saves the Jews, but he also saves the Gentiles. God not only filled Peter with the Holy Spirit, but God also filled Cornelius, his family, and his friends. And so they were all Gentiles with the Holy Spirit too. And Peter learned that God does not show favoritism. And Peter's deeds were recorded in the book of Acts when he obeyed God. So this blessing is written about in James chapter 1, verse 25, but I'll talk about that again later. But we just have to remember that Peter was blessed because he was obedient to God's calling, and he was willing to go to a Gentile family. And then, also according to Galatians chapter 2, verses 8, we can see that Peter was actually a minister and apostle to the Jews, and Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Yet the Lord used Peter to first try to reach out to the Gentiles, and because Peter obeyed, Peter had a better understanding of God, and he even got a blessing. And then, In the future, we know that Peter will also get blessings too because of his obedience. And now, so we know that God looks at this obedience as God wants all of us to be obedient to him. And how we know that is if we take a look at Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Says that God called us to the obedience that comes from faith, and we see that both Cornelius and Peter had this obedience that came from faith. Peter was a messenger sent by God with a message for Cornelius, and Cornelius was obedient to God's truth, and he was baptized. So not only does God want us to have obedience that comes from faith. In verse 6 of, so just a little bit lower, in verse 6 it also says that we are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And in verse 7, it says that God called us to be his saints, so his holy people. And we know that Cornelius' family and friends obeyed God's word, and so they were holy. If they were not holy, they would not have the filling of the Holy Spirit within their heart. And we see that God was very pleased with Cornelius' family, and so he used two chapters, chapter 10 and chapter 11 of the book of Acts, to talk about this family. God remembered the work of Cornelius because he was devout, God-fearing, generous, and prayed regularly to God. So I want to use this opportunity to encourage all brothers and sisters to come to Wednesday prayer meeting and to go after all four of these qualities that Cornelius and all his family has. And we also see that Cornelius not only saved himself and his family, but he also saved his close relatives and friends. So Cornelius is a very excellent person, and if he was in our church today, our church would grow. So not many people invite their friends to the church. They hear that they should do it, but they don't do it. So that's why we have to learn from Cornelius. So all of us want blessing, and if we take a look at how other people get the blessing, then we should follow, once we see how they are able to get the blessing, we should follow them, so follow Cornelius, and then we'll be truly blessed. So when we read this kind of scripture, so Acts chapter 8, 9, 10, and 19, then our soul will be nourished. And we won't be angry, and we would be slow to speak, quick to listen to what the Bible is saying to us, and then we'll be able to find out, wow, this is really, really good stuff. So that's how our soul is able to be nourished. So let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 19. So remember that everyone should be quick to listen, just like Cornelius' family and Peter in Acts chapter 10, slow to speak and slow to become angry. So when God tells you to do something that you're not used to, don't become angry, but make sure you have the obedience that comes from faith. Just like how we know that Jewish people had no relationship with the Gentiles, they didn't go to a Gentile house and they didn't eat with them. But Peter did not get angry. But instead, he obeyed God because God called us to the obedience that comes from faith. So, and then also make sure you remember that not only do we have to be obedient, we are also called to belong to Jesus Christ and called to be his saints to live a holy life. And when we obey, then we understand God more. So in Peter's case, he realized that God is not only kind and good to the Jews, but he is also kind to devout, generous, God-fearing Cornelius and his family and his friends. So this was a truly an eye-opening experience for Peter. And now Peter knows that God not only loves the Gentiles and God wants to save them too. And then after, Peter was preaching, the Gentiles were first filled with the Holy Spirit, but Peter himself knew Jesus' teaching, which is that even though they have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, they're still lacking one thing, which was water baptism. That's why he went ahead and baptized them all in water. And so if we take a look at Acts chapter 9 again, that's Ananias and Paul. You see that Ananias himself could also have been angry with God, but Ananias submitted to God. At first, we can see that Ananias was quick to speak, and he argued with God, but God convinced him by saying that Paul is my chosen servant. And thankfully, Ananias obeyed and he submitted to God. So we all struggle, but eventually we have to submit ourselves to God. And in chapter 10, we see in chapter 9, Ananias obeyed, and then in chapter 10, Peter obeyed. And we know that the righteous life that God desires for Peter is to obey and just to do it. Same for Ananias, same for Peter, same for John, and same for Philip. So John and Philip was back when I was talking about the Samaritan believers. So all these people had a common kind of characteristic. All of them obeyed God, and they were able to have a partnership with God. And we see that the eunuch himself was also obedient, because once he understood the scriptures, he wanted to be baptized right away. So we know that all these people are all holy, and for sure we'll be able to see this kind of people in heaven. And then if we go back to James chapter 1, verse 21, so we can see that we can see the reason why a lot of people reject the word of God. It's because they are full of moral filth and evil. So James tells us that we have to get rid of moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in us, which can save us. If Peter or Ananias didn't go, God would have disciplined them. If Philip didn't go to the eunuch, then God would have disciplined him too, just like how God disciplined Jonah. But because they believed in God, God's word, and they got rid of all the moral filth and evil in their heart, then they were able to receive God's word, and they were nourished by God's word. And as far as Ananias is concerned, Ananias learned that God later on used Paul to write 13 books. So Ananias, at first he didn't want to do it, but after he did it, and he found out Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible, Ananias himself would be very glad to be a part of it, and that he got to lay hands on Saul to turn him to become Paul. So without Ananias, there is no Paul, and without Peter, there is no Cornelius. Without Philip, there is no eunuch. So all these illustrations are saying that they all had a partnership with God. And we know that Cornelius' family did not receive God's grace in vain, but they invited a lot of his close friends and relatives to hear the word of God. So what we should learn from this is that we should all try to make friends in our workplace or when we're attending school, so that we'll be able to invite our friends to church. If you want to get blessing from the Lord, you need to ask yourself, are you devout? Are you God-fearing? Are you generous to others so that you can lead them to church? And do you pray continuously? And also, and one more important question is, are you obedient like Cornelius and do it right away? And from Acts chapter 10, we see that Cornelius did two things that were very good. First, he sent three people to search for Peter to come, and for sure he knew that if you sent three and one was a devout soldier, then they would get it done. And then the second thing that he did really well was that after he sent away his servants to look for Peter, he invited a lot of people and prepared a large gathering for Peter to come. So everyone who heard Peter's preaching, they were filled with the Holy Spirit before Peter's sermon even finished. So that's why in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Not to merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So, who are some examples in the Bible that did not just merely listen to the word? It was Philip, John, and Peter. And so what did they do? So we know that John and Peter left Jerusalem and went to Samaria. And Philip left his place and went to meet the eunuch. And another one was Ananias. Ananias left his place to meet with Saul. And also we know that the two servants and one devout soldier left Cornelius' family and went to search for Peter. So this kind of obedience God is very happy about. So we see that none of them merely listened to the word of God, but they did something about it. So if you listen to the word of God and don't do it, then James says that you are just deceiving yourself, and God would discipline you because you are disobedient. That's why James puts emphasis on it and says, do what it says. Now let's take a look at James chapter 1, verses 23 to 24. So it says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So here what it's saying is that if you sinned and you do not confess your sins and renounce your sins, then you would forget that you even sinned. That is unless God disciplined you. So, who is an example of someone that God disciplined? As I said earlier, it was Jonah. So Jonah heard the word of God and didn't do it. So what happened was he ended up in the belly of a great fish. And during this time, he was dead. He himself said that his life was ebbing away. And when Jonah repented, God gave him a second chance by telling the great fish to vomit him out. And 3 days later, Jonah was resurrected. So then that was verse 23 to 24. And then verse 25. But the man who looks intensely into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this. So just like when we read Acts chapter 8, 9, 10, and 19, we have to keep reading it and we have to do something about it. Not to forget what we have heard, but to do it. Just as how God told Ananias to do it, and Ananias did it. He laid hands on Saul, and Saul became Paul. And after Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was baptized. And also Philip, he baptized the people of Samaria. And unfortunately, Samaria didn't have the Holy Spirit. So John and Peter finished the task by laying hands on them. And Peter himself, he heard God's word, and he had the courage to enter into a Gentile house, and so then, and he had the courage to baptize them. So then Peter was able to see that God loves Cornelius and his family and wants to see them enter the kingdom of God. And Peter himself knew that the word of God, the word of truth, is to give people a new birth. So he cooperated with God and was obedient to God. So eventually all these obedient servants of God will be really blessed by God. And that's why God wrote down all these incidents to encourage us to follow them. And when we follow them, that means that we are following the word of truth, then we become born again. And when we are born again, then we're able to become a new person. And another thing was that when they obeyed God, they got to know God better, and they found out that God not only loves Jews, but he also loves Gentiles too. So when you obey the word of God, the word of God will reward you, and you will be blessed. That's what it's saying in verse 25. But the man who looks intensely into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So, God will use your, if you obey God's word and you do it, then God will use your life for other people to follow. So we see that Peter, Ananias, and Philip, they all got blessing, and even Cornelius' family and all his friends got blessing. And we know that Cornelius is the one who will get the most blessing out of all his family members because he was the one who obeyed God and sent his servants. And we see that not only did they receive blessing, they grew in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and had a better understanding of who Jesus is and So then, when you are blessed in what you do, and we can go back to verse 18, the latter part of James chapter 1, verse 18, then we could be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So once you're truly blessed, then God is able to use us as a first fruit, and we know that first fruits belongs to God. So what does this first fruit mean? So that it means that just like in a store, when people, they pick the best product and they put it in a showcase. So if we listen to God's word, are quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, and then we do it, then according to verse 25, we'll be blessed. And when we're blessed and other people look at us, then we are first fruit, and so that people will follow us. Just like how in the store there's a showcase of all their best products, so then people will enter the store. So then that was the third point. So number one, the function of the word of truth gives us birth. Number two, nourishes our soul. And then number three, it can bless us. And then in brackets, if you do it. Okay, so that's all I have for today. And let's bow our heads with a word of prayer. Dearly Father, as we come before you, I pray that you help us to know who you are, what you like to do, and how we can be blessed. If we follow what Ananias has done, then we know that we will be blessed. If we follow Cornelius' family, then we will be blessed. If we follow Peter, we will also be blessed, because all of them were obedient to your word, and this obedience comes from faith. For we know that it is impossible to please God without faith. So I pray that you help us not just merely be a listener to your word and so deceive ourselves, but I pray that you help us to first quickly listen, because we know that without listening, we do not know what we should do. And then after we listen, I pray that with the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to help us do it. I also pray that with the help of the Holy Spirit, you help us to do it by faith, and then we'll be able to see the result. I pray that you help each and every one of us, after we heard your word today, help us to do something about it, to go back to school or to the workplace, to make friends, and to invite them to church so that we can share the gospel to them. I pray that you help us to understand the word of truth thoroughly if we want to share the scripture, because we know that if we don't understand it thoroughly, when people challenge us, we will back off and back down, and we won't know what to say. But I pray, Lord, that you help us to grow and to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Help us to pray in the Holy Spirit, and help us to have mercy on our family members and friends, to love them and to share the gospel to them. I pray that just as how Cornelius and his family didn't just want to share, want his own family members to hear the gospel, but he wanted all his family members, his servant, his soldiers, and his friends and close relatives to hear the gospel. He loved all of them. And he also invited them all and prepared a large gathering in his house to listen to what Peter has to say. So after Cornelius did this, through the obedience that comes from faith, it was all recorded by Dr. Luke to encourage us to follow in the footsteps of Cornelius. Lord, we want what we do to be remembered by you, and we want to be able to bring people to Christ so that we would not see you empty-handed, but we'll be richly blessed in what we do. Lord, we also know that the Gospel of John clearly states that if we bear much fruit, then we are truly your disciples. If we are truly your disciples, then whatever we pray, you will listen to us. You will honor us because we honor you by bringing people to come to know you. And I pray that you also help the non-believers today to fill them with the Holy Spirit, allow them to be a born-again Christian, to encourage them to understand what it means to be born again, and what has to be born again and what has to be done. For we know that we have to go through water baptism and spirit baptism. And if we don't have either one of those, then we cannot see and enter the kingdom of God. I pray that after we are born again, that we be nourished by the Word of God, and so that we have a deeper understanding of the Word of God and the Word of Truth. I pray that you help each and every one of us to get rid of all the filthy things in our hearts, so that we have more room for the nutritious food, the spiritual milk, and more room for your Word. And once we have your Word, I pray that you help us to understand it and know what it really means to us. And once we understand it, to help us to put it into practice so that we will know for sure we will be blessed in what we do. I pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.